Let's record. Here we go. Okay. Okay. Welcome to the Art of Meditation Class 2. And so I wanted to go over some things that both of you missed for the first class. And we can talk about it again. So, this is my drawing, and we were talking about this idea of the way that we normally conceive of goals and getting what we want. As human beings, we're wired to go from point A to point B in a straight line. And why is that? I think because we, our higher being manifests things in succession. So things manifest in the physical world, one after the other in succession. And so because we are identified as body-mind, we see it as a timeline. And also because I think we are raised to think of time as a linear concept, as an actual thing that we experience. But of course it's not, it's a concept. So in dealing with this way that we try to do things, try to get what we want, we usually go after it as here I am and I want to become this, or I want to get that. And so I make effort to get what I want, right? So this is normally how we try to get what we want, is we think about it and then we pursue a path, some kind of avenue that we have experienced before, that we have, you know, an idea of how it will go, and so we try to attain this thing that we want. So with meditation, it's difficult to do this approach. And why is that? Because meditation is the opposite of trying to attain something. So there is no person, no personality that can attain awakening or enlightenment. There's no I, Douglas, will never become awakened. Me, the character Douglas, is not, cannot, because I exist as a thought only. I exist as a concept. I'm a concept. This character, this personality, Douglas, is just a concept. So, what does this have to do with meditation? So, meditation involves me letting go of the concept of Douglas. So, that requires me to do the opposite of what I'm trained to do, which is to make effort at something, right? So it's, instead of effort, it's letting go. It's me letting go of myself or of my ideas about myself. So don't think about this too much. It's just try to absorb it. When you start to do meditation, you'll if you don't understand it now, you'll begin to understand how it works. The only thing I don't, you know, after studying in these different traditions for many years, I realized that I didn't, maybe I needed to go through that. My ego had to go through, like, because it wanted to know, like, what is emptiness? Like, why are we here? How can I not suffer in this life, you know? And so I went through years of training and learning about Buddhist philosophy and the Vedas and yogic philosophy and it was really interesting and now I'm at the point where I realized, like, oh, that was just my personality wanting to just have more information. It wanted answers. My thinking mind wanted more and more and more. And I kept feeding it. And I got all the answers and it still wanted more. You know, I kept going into, like, different methodologies, like, oh, this is cool, like, I can do this method and like pursue this philosophy, and it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit different than what I was trained in before, and all these avenues of how to think about reality and worldview and all this stuff. And it didn't really help me in the end, to be honest. It's helped me to understand mentally. It helped my mind to understand, which appeased my mind to a certain degree. But it didn't help me experience the self. You know what I mean? It gave me a reason to sit down and look at my mind. And maybe it helped in that way. But it's all just thinking. And the practice of meditation is to go beyond the thinking mind. So if you have done, you know, if you have gone down religious or spiritual paths, great, and maybe you need that, and maybe that's part of your path, I can't say. But I can tell you that for me personally, it's so simple that you don't need to do any of that. You just need to find someone to convince you, or yourself, convince yourself that just sitting still and looking and seeing what's really there is the fastest, deepest, most profound thing that you can possibly do on this earth as a human, in a body, with a mind. So this is the little me here, and this is This is the personality, the construct, what we experience, what we experience every day, as a personality. And this is what we really are here. So we're not efforting in order to experience this. There's no effort involved in this. There's only just letting go of that to experience this, which is what we are ultimately. And that doesn't mean that this will necessarily go away. It'll still be there. We can experience it. But we can choose to experience it or not. We can relate to it. We can identify it with it or not identify with it. We have that choice. But before we let go of it and see what we really are, we don't really have that choice. We're kind of stuck. So this is what meditation, this is the whole reason for meditation and practicing, is to just let go. So does that make any sense?
Makes sense, but yeah, it sounds easier than it is.
Right, okay, good point.
Yeah, mind is still dominating.
Yeah, so. Sure. Okay, sure. Not easy. So why should we expect it to be easy? Right? I mean, if we've been here for, you know, coming through the cycle of life back and forth for billions of years or however, you know, and doing it this way, and like, why should we expect it to just land in our laps? Like, you know, I don't know how long we've been suffering, but I mean, I know for this life, at least, it's been a pretty long time for me. It seems like a long time. Thinking in a certain way, thinking the conventional way, like trying to get happiness externally, you know. However, maybe it's not easy, but it is very, very simple. It's so simple that the mind cannot grasp it, because the mind is complex. It loves complexity. And as Lester Levinson said, if you want complexity, you'll never see simplicity. So part of this letting go is letting go of the complexity to see the simplicity of it. And when we let go of the mind more and more, we see how simple it is and how beautiful that is, like how just extraordinarily profound that simplicity is, you know. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is this idea of meditation. What is meditation? So so if you're looking at an ocean from a boat, and there's lots of waves, there's lots of movement in the water, it's very hard to see what's down beneath the surface of the water, right? So, but when the water is still, you can see what's on the bottom of the lake or whatever body of water. It's much easier to see through the veil. So this is the idea of meditation. And I was going to talk about terminology, but I don't really think it's really important to talk about terminology, meditation. There's a lot of concepts about what is meditation. There's a lot of traditions, many, many, many traditions and teachers saying this is meditation and that is meditation, and you're not doing it, you're not doing real meditation, this is real meditation, and blah, blah, blah. So I like to keep it simple. And I'll just say this, meditation is stilling the mind. So you can see what's really there. That's all it is, just stilling the mind. How do we still the mind? By settling down and letting go of whatever is the obstacle or the distortion that we're seeing through, whatever that distortion is, be it emotions or thought patterns or whatever it is, whatever obstacle comes in the way, we just let it go over and over again. And the more we let go, the more we understand that how to let go, and that it's an art, really is an art to let go. You know about Wu Wei? Wu Wei is the art of not forcing anything. So this is like, it's very similar concept to experience the Tao. We don't force anything, we just let it flow. So there's no forcing, there's no effort involved in the meditation process. So if you're sitting and suddenly you're like, you realize, like, I'm trying to get rid of these damn thoughts, you know, then that's not the way. It's not. Because the ego cannot kill itself. If you try to get rid of the thoughts, you're only making it stronger. You're making the thoughts stronger. The thought, the thinking apparatus, whatever that is, which is really just the identification of the absolute or the spirit with the body. It's just identifying as the body. So maybe this is too much. So I guess, what was my point? yeah, Wu Wei. So there's no forcing, and the meditation comes from a different place. Process comes from a different place than what we normally, how we normally act. So anyway, that's my spiel for today. One more thing. The science. Why is the science of awakening? Why did I call it the science of awakening? If it's the art of meditation, why is it the science of meditation? And why is it the art of meditation? So, meditation is an art because we're all different, and there's no one size fits all approach to meditation. And there's no technique that works for everyone. some people can follow a certain path, such as a specific tradition of Buddhism, and it works for them. Some people can follow that same path and they can't get it. They can't get anywhere with it. So because we all have personalities and we all are inclined a little bit differently to do anything, we think about things a little bit differently. And so that's why we have all these traditions of trying to still the mind. Why there's so many different techniques and methods to do that. So that's why it's an art, and ultimately it's your path. So you have to do this, and you have to find out what it is that is works for you. And I'm going to show you some things that I think might work for you, but I really don't know what's going to work for you. So you have to experiment, and you have to really be earnest about it, and see, and just have the courage to go somewhere where you haven't gone before. Why is it a science? Why is awakening a science? Well, the Buddha, Shakyamuni, Siddhartha Gautama, Buddha, proved that it's a science. He said, if you do this, you get that, right? You follow this, you watch the mind enough, or you do single-pointed concentration on the breath or on awareness or something, and you get to a certain point, you get to a point of absorption, of calm, they call it calm abiding, and then you from there you do vipassana, which is clear seeing. You learn through being still that you can see what's there, what's really there. And he has, or his students, made record of these sutras that document all of these methodologies, and people have followed these paths for many, many generations and have been successful with this. So we know this, and we've met people, or at least some of us have met people who have followed these methodologies, and they appear to have benefited from them. So that's why it's a science. You do this, you get that. But it's also an art, because one of us does this, they don't get that, so they have to do another, they have to find out what's right for them. And then once they get that, then, but the basic principles are there. It's cause and effect, you know? So, which doesn't really exist, but that's another story. So, apparently, yes, apparently. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. So let's do a practice. So last week we did this pranayama. We started with pranayama. It's a traditional method called triangle breathing. So we're just going to do that. You just take your right elbow and your left hand, and then you take your ring finger and your thumb like this, and you block the left nostril. You breathe in through the right nostril, then you close with your thumb, both, and then you drop your head down gently, and then you let go of the left nostril. You breathe out through the left nostril slowly, and then you breathe in through the left nostril again. And then hold your breath, drop your head for four counts, and then back up again, and breathe out through the right nostril slowly for four counts, and then in through the right nostril, one, four, hold, drop your head, head up, and then breathe out through the left, one, two, three, four, in through the left, hold it, drop your head, three, four, up, out through the right. Let's do this eight more times. And when you breathe in, try to breathe into your belly, your lower abdomen. Try to feel your belly expanding. This front and back. And now keep breathing into your belly. With long, slow breaths. And as you breathe in, imagine that there's energy and oxygen coming through into all the pores of your body. Just sucking it in through your pores of your skin. And then on the next out breath, we're all going to chant the simple ah sound. Chanting helps to stimulate the vagus nerve, and also breathing into your belly helps stimulate it as well. And it also grounds you. We're so used to being up here. There's 4 out of our 5 senses are up here. We put a lot of stock in our eye sense, our seeing sense, and that's up here. And so we're very much up here. We have this, the brain is up here, all this information coming in here. So we're most of us are a little bit top heavy in terms of balance of energies in the body. So we want to bring this attention down to the belly, because the abdomen, the hara, which is located 2 fingers below your belly button on the inside, in the center, in front of your spine, is the center, the energetic center of your body. And so as we breathe into the belly, we're paying attention to that center area. And it helps us to ground and to center ourselves in the body, as well as relaxing us. And when the breath slows down, the mind goes with it. because the mind and the breath are connected. The thinking mind. When I say mind, I mean thinking mind. So the thoughts calm down when the breath calms down, when the breath slows. So if you had a really busy day and you are feeling like, oh, I can't meditate because my mind is racing, you can just sit down and just breathe into your belly, do some pranayama. You can chant a little bit if you want. You can just sit and watch and feel your breath in the belly expanding and contracting in your energetic center. And this can be a meditation in and of itself, because you're just focusing on one thing. Just the expanding and contracting of the abdomen with the breath. And after a while, you can let go of any effort involved in the breath and just let it breathe on its own. Because you're not really in control of the breath anyway, it just goes on its own. So you can just observe. And you can notice the sensations of the breath in the belly. What does it feel like when it expands and contracts? And if a thought comes up, that's perfectly fine. But you don't have to follow the thought. You can just let it go. We're not going to fight with the mind, with the thinking process. We're just going to let it come up. Let thoughts come up and observe them as if you were watching a bird fly through the sky. It appears for a moment and then after some time it disappears. And then you can go back to the breath, the sensation of the breath. And that is all you need to do with the thoughts. Because thinking is a natural process of the mind. And it's perfectly okay to have thoughts. And the more we sit with the breath, the more we realize that we don't have to follow the thoughts. We actually have a choice. And so we choose to just let the thoughts go and then focus again back on the breath. And then at some point the mind will say, oh, like this is super boring, just watching the breath. Maybe. And then you can just notice that thought and not follow it and just let it go. And go back to the breath again. And you, after a while, you will notice that you can feel more. Because the mind is calmed down. And so you are able to notice more. Qualities of the breath in the belly. And then after a few minutes of the breath, you can place your attention on the body, the whole body. Feel your whole body at once, as if it is just one thing. Whole and complete. And notice the breath is still there, and you can give it about 25% of your attention, and the rest of your attention just let it rest on the body. And in this moment, the body doesn't need anything. It's already complete and whole. And you're just noticing that. And if a thought comes up, that's okay again. Notice it. And let it go. You don't need to follow it. You can go back to the body and the breath. And this process of going back and forth from the thoughts to the attention on the body, the awareness of the whole body, that's the meditation. The meditation is not trying to still your thoughts. There's no trying, no effort involved at all. And if there's any effort there, just notice it. And let it go. Just release that effort. And if some more effort comes up that you notice, maybe some tightness in the body somewhere, or a thought about, am I doing this right, or is this going to work for me? That's all effort. So you can just let that go. Just let it come up and let it dissolve and release. And just be with your natural state. Just be naturally present as you are. Whole and complete. And then after a while, you can notice the stillness. And you can notice the silence. Become aware of the silence. And you can notice the spaciousness all around you and inside the body. And you can notice that you are just being yourself naturally. There's nothing you have to do in this moment. Except be. And then at some point you can notice that there's a warm, bright light behind you, like the sun. And it's shining on you, on your body from behind. And you can feel the warmth of it on your back. And then you can notice that it lights a spark in the center of your chest. The sun is lighting a spark inside the body. And that spark starts to grow into a small ball of light inside of the chest. And it gets brighter and brighter and bigger. Slowly growing in size and getting brighter and warmer. And pretty soon it lights up the whole inside of the body. With blissful rays of light. And then these light rays start to seep out through the skin, through the pores of your body, because this light is so bright and your whole body just lights up. And these rays of light expand out beyond you in all directions. And you become like a star, like a sun, just shining on all other beings. And you can feel the bliss of that. And the bliss of knowing that you are shining on others, helping them in some small way. and the light becomes more blissful now, all enveloping. And it's effortless. You don't have to do anything. It just happens on its own. Just being yourself naturally is a gift to all beings everywhere. It's the greatest gift you can ever give. And you can have a sense of gratitude that you are able to do that. To be that. And then you can slowly let the ball of light shrink down. Until it's back inside the body. Keep it there if you want, or you can dissolve it completely if you like. Slowly start to wiggle your fingers and toes. And get ready to come back into the room. And slowly open up your eyes. Come back. So I would love it if you could do this, some version of this practice every day, for 20 minutes every day, if possible. And if it's a priority for you. And it doesn't, it can just be one part of the meditation. It could just be watching the breath. It's your meditation, so you do as you like. But I would really love it if you would experiment with this and see what is right for you and how it affects you, what, you know, what you're interested in doing. Find out, you know, if the breath is your thing, or feeling the whole body is your thing, or both. This is your path, not mine, and only you can do this practice. But I know you can do it, some version of it. I know you're perfectly capable of doing this for 20 minutes every day. So, choice is yours. And hopefully I'll see you next week. Any questions?
What's with the sitting? Like, is it really a requirement in your perspective? Because I sitting, like sitting in this position and not laying down, for example. Because I heard many things, I just want to check with you. I have been doing meditation, but I lay down because it's the way I relax more.
Yeah.
It's easier for me to relax. I have really a difficulty in relaxing my body. And
okay.
When I lay down, I can
yeah.
do it and stop focusing so much on
yeah.
the pain, the tension, this or that.
Yeah.
But what is your view in everything you researched and in your experience?
When I first started out meditating, I had to sit upright and with a straight back in order to stay alert and awake. And later I realized that I was still falling into dullness and subtle dullness and having all kinds of obstacles, even though I was sitting up straight. But it did help to sit up with the straight back. And then over the years, it just, it didn't matter so much. And so now it's, I guess it just depends on where you're at and if you can stay alert. It sounds like you can stay alert while lying down. Mm. I meditate in bed all the time, lying down all the time. It's probably half of my practice or more is horizontal. And that's fine, but just be aware of the quality of your attention, the clarity. If there's not clarity, then you need to do something else. If there's clarity, then that's perfectly fine. And the way to understand whether or not you have clarity, because a lot of times we can't tell, is by following the breath. How much can you feel the breath? Is it really clear? It has to be super clear.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we go through phases of, especially if we're just starting out in meditation, we can go through phases of having a lot of dullness and having a lot of agitation, dullness and agitation. And then, you know, I sat for years in subtle dullness. I didn't even know I was doing it. And then I realized after a while, someone said something to me and I realized, I was kind of like hurting myself because I've just been sitting in dullness. I thought I was, you know, in samadhi, but I wasn't. I was just kind of zoning out, like thinking I was meditating. So it's very important to have this clarity. And if you don't have it, figure out how you can get it. You know, maybe you have to, you know, you're falling into dullness, maybe you need to not eat for an hour before you sit down and meditate or lie down and meditate, because eating affects the mind. You know, if we're digesting, then it's harder to pay attention, to have this kind of clarity. And what time of the day, like, some people are morning people, some people are evening, night people. What's your time of the day? What's the best time for you to meditate? Like, where you're most alive, most clear. So one of my teachers once said, you have to meditate like your hair's on fire. And it's true. Like, without the fear, like, yeah. It's like, whoa. Like, it's that kind of clarity. Like, if your hair is on fire, you're going to be pretty clear, right? You're going to be like, you know, like if you're walking in the woods, it's like if you're walking in the woods and you hear an animal and you have no idea, like it sounded really big and it's like getting dark out or something, you know, and like, you're like this. It's like fear sets in and you're like, your whole, everything changes, right? There's no more thoughts. Thoughts disappear and you're super clear. It's like that without the fear. That's how clear you need to be. So anyway, watch the dullness. If you get dull, change it up. Get up. You know, maybe you need to work out a few times a week or more, just to get the energy moving in your body so that when you sit, you're more balanced and you're not, your mind's not wandering so much and you're not going from dullness to agitation and things like that. So it really is finding your balance, your personal balance. So
I've just got one thing. So when you use the word dullness, can it be likened to like sleepy? Because I mean, I was sitting here and I was just like, I was floating around. Oh, I was in such a lovely place. Ooh, but like, you know, I wasn't clear because I was like, yeah, sometimes I was just falling asleep.
Yeah,
like, ooh.
That's dullness.
Yeah, okay.
Dullness is, okay, just checking. It can manifest as sleepiness. It can manifest as just kind of zoning out and like, you know,
it's such a lovely feeling. It's like I was so relaxed, but I realized I wasn't. So what I was doing actually, when I realized, I'm like, oh, and I was like making my breath just that little bit deeper, just to sort of like, okay, breath, okay, come on,
yeah,
we're just so
yeah.
I don't know
Yeah, it's something that you can work with, you know. It's not always going to be there.
Okay.
And it's one of the obstacles that we all have to go through in meditation. Like, it's just a phase where you're going to experience this. And one day you won't have it anymore because you've gone through it. So, yeah, it's okay. Just be aware of it. And it is very intoxicating sometimes, you know, to have this, like you said, like you're just kind of blissing out, right? It's so easy to do that, just to bliss out and be dull. But that's not it.
Thank you for telling me so early on. That was very useful.
Yeah. And we'll go more into dullness and agitation and how to deal with them. You can do it, you know. These are not obstacles that are you can't get through. It's just understanding and experimenting with this and going through it yourself. It's not really that hard. You can do it. So, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Great. All right, hope to see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.